come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
During the Christmas play, there were three boys, six-year-old boys, who were playing the role of the wise men, and their job was to bring the gifts to the nativity and to announce what they were bringing. So the first boy brought his gift, and he said, gold. The second boy brought his gift, knelt down, and said, myrrh. The third boy, who was kind of nervous and having trouble remembering his line, finally came to him, and he said, Frankie sent this. There was another woman who was teaching her daycare class about the birth of Jesus, and she explained the story to them, and then when she asked the question to find out if they'd understood what she'd said, she said, what did we call the wise men? And a bright five-year-old replied, the three maggots. What gift did the Magi give the baby Jesus trying to correct him? And undeterred, he said, go Frankensteins and Smurfs. Well, there are a lot of people, not just kids, that are confused about the coming of the wise men, the meaning of that, the purpose of that. And they hear the story and they see the plays and things like that, but don't really understand why the Magi came. And so when we talk about the coming of the Magi, there's a lot of confusion. For example, many people think that he came to a manger like we have set up here. But as we read in the story, they must have come sometime later because it says they came to a house where Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were. So obviously from that time they had moved to a house nearby the manger. And so perhaps the wise men had come much later than just at the very birth of Jesus. So we see also that we don't know how many of them there were, but we know that they came from the east, so they were most likely not Jews. Tradition has it that they were from Persia, once a mighty country that is really found today in the countries of Iran and Iraq. And we know that we don't know about their names except what comes from legends. And what exactly the Magi were really information that we glean from history about Persian kings in the second century. A church father named Tertullian suggested that there were three wise men, and that these were wise men that had come, were actually kings. And the reason why he said that they were kings is because of what Psalm 72 says, that kings will come to worship him. So he attributed these wise men not magi, but actually kings. And he suggested that there were three of them because of the gifts that were brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so in the 6th century, someone decided that these wise men should have names. And so they came up with the name of Melchior, Balthazar, and Gaspar. Popular myth called them astrologers, although that might not necessarily be the case. It was generally accepted that the Magi were a priestly caste of the Persian Empire, and numerous enough to be regarded as one of the six tribes of the Medes. You may remember the Medes come into play in the story of Daniel, and Daniel was, of course, thrown into the lion's den by King Darius, and when that happened, it was a reference to the law of the Medes and the Persians. And so if the ones from whom the Magi were descended, their racial identity went with them, went with their profession. The Magi worshiped the elements of fire, air, earth, and water, but especially fire. Many of their temples were up on top of roofs of houses, and they kept a perpetual fire going, burning day and night of the sacred elements. A bit like the sanctuary candle that we have burning regularly here, or the eternal flame at Arlington National Cemetery for President Kennedy. The term Magi is based on words today that we get from Magi, which are magician and magistrate. And I often wonder why God would call people like these Magi to come to be a witness to the birth of Jesus Christ. Why would they be called to come like that. In fact, the Old Testament really condemns many of the things that they were doing. And so the reason why, I think, is because Jesus' birth shows us that the gospel now is available to everyone. It was not to the Jews, just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were now receiving the gospel as represented by these wise men. It also shows that you don't have to live a morally good life in order to come to Jesus Christ. You don't have to get your act together or be perfect before you come to Him and receive Him as your Savior. We also see that once they came to find the King, their lives were transformed, they were changed. And Jesus accepts them as they were, but He doesn't leave them that way. He continues to make them into what He wants them to be. The second reason why God revealed Himself to the Magi is that they were seeking Him far more than the Jewish leaders at that time were seeking Him. The Magi were actively seeking Him. And that's what God desires. He desires that we seek Him. In fact, in Jeremiah 29, we read these words, "You will seek me and find me if you seek me with your whole heart." God honors an inquiring spirit within a person. So what are some of the things that we can learn from the Magi? Well, first of all, they followed God's guidance. They followed the star, even though they didn't know the destination. God seeks to guide us, and many times when He tries to guide us, we don't always know the destination. But when He tries to guide us, He often guides us in five different ways. Nikki Gumbel in our Alpha course calls these the five C's. First, he says, is the commanding scripture. Sometimes scripture can give us direction and guidance on what we need to do or what we need to say or where we need to go. Sometimes God guides us by what is called the compelling spirit. Sometimes we are moved by the spirit to go somewhere, to do something, to say something to someone. Another CS is common sense. God has given us common sense to use as a way of guiding us as well. For example, if I get up in the morning and I ask God, "God, should I put on a shirt?" Well, common sense says, yes, you should put on a shirt. So God can guide us using our common sense. Also, God can guide us by the counsel of the saints. In other words, going to a mature Christian and asking them for some guidance. Maybe what they might be hearing from the Lord about our lives or what we should be doing. So sometimes we can get some guidance from mature Christians. Another thing we can get guidance from is what might be called circumstantial signs. Sometimes there might appear to be a door that is open to a particular opportunity. And that might be a circumstantial sign that God is using to guide us in that particular situation. So if we follow His direction, we'll reach the destination of His will. God sometimes can use a combination of these to guide us as well. There's an Anglican priest who once shared the following story. He says, "I was at a Christian conference on Saturday in May in 1994 when I met a Texan called Harold Fox. I asked him what he did for a living, and he said that he was a prophet. Reverend Tony and Cheek, I asked him, 'Have you got a word from God for me?' To which he replied, 'Well, yes, you won't be in Switzerland much longer.' I thought this guy was out for lunch, and on the way home told my wife, Maddie, what I thought. I had a good life. Things were going swimmingly for me. I had a good job and a safe job working as a patent agent in a Swiss multinational company called Sandoz in Switzerland, and a lovely house in Switzerland with a swimming pool. Why would I want to move? Well, the following Wednesday, I got a phone call from a headhunter, totally independent from Harold Fox, asking me if I was interested in a job in England. I was just about to put the phone down when I remembered the prophecy. One thing led to another, and I was offered a post as head of group patent department of Rickett and Coleman. And my safe job? Within 6 months, Sandoz spun off the chemicals division, which was the part of their business where I had been working in the patent department. Those left in my group were on pins and needles for the rest of for 6 months, wondering if they would have a job. Sandoz merged with another company, so the rest of the Sandoz patent department started to worry if they would have a job at the end of the merger. When I went back to visit a few years later, someone asked me if I'd had inside knowledge to warn me to get out when I did. And I said, yes, I did. but a little higher up than Mr. Murray in the managing department. So God can guide us by a number of different ways, by commanding scripture, counsel of the Spirit, a compelling spirit, common sense, a counsel of the saints, and by circumstantial signs, or as I mentioned, by a combination of any of these. We can learn from the Magi also to make worship a priority in our lives. Along with obedience, worship is one of the greatest gifts that we can give to Jesus. Worship is something that is not just something we do on Sunday, but it's something we can do throughout the week, through our prayer, through our praises, through our thanksgivings. We can offer up to God a worship any time during the week. Another thing we can learn from the Magi is that they gave Jesus the very best that they had. They brought him costly gifts. Gold indicates kingship. What gold can I bring to Jesus today, we might want to ask. We think immediately of our money. When we give to the church, we're giving our gift to Jesus. When we give our money to help someone in need, we're giving to Jesus. When we give our time through our ministry or to the church or to a friend, we're giving it to Jesus. The Magi brought gifts that were the best gifts that they could bring. Frankincense was the next gift that they gave. Frankincense was used to mask the smell of the sacrifices on the altar in the temple. In this sense, however, frankincense signifies the priestly role of Jesus. Jesus was the King of Kings, but he was also the great high priest. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 puts it well when the writer says, "For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." The high priest offered sacrifice to God on the altar. So what is the sacrifice that God may be calling us to give in our lives? It could be that one of the greatest sacrifices that we offer to Jesus is to spend time with him in what we might call our quiet time. This is a time when we pray and read God's word and try to hear what God might be trying to say to us. Most of the things we do are tangible, but prayer doesn't seem to be. And we like to do things that are measurable, things that have some sort of a way of calculating that we've done something, we've accomplished something. But prayer isn't always like that. But prayer is simply something that God wants us to do in order to spend time with him. Myrrh is the final gift brought by the Magi. In Jesus' time, people used myrrh to embalm their dead. A thoughtless gift, you might think, for a baby shower, but not this baby. These wise men, even if they didn't realize it, were giving a gift to a baby who was born to die. Myrrh is also a symbol of suffering. Christ would one day suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of mankind. Myrrh can also remind us that we too will suffer as a follower of Christ, whether it be the suffering in our flesh or the suffering as we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus, or the suffering that we receive as a result of rejection or persecution or ridicule for our faith in Jesus Christ. All of these are ways that we might share in his suffering. There's an old saying that is apropos today as it was back then, and that is, wise men and women still seek him. Will you seek him today? Will you give him your best gifts? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have reminded us that the gospel is now available to everyone throughout the world. And we see that through the image of the wise men who brought gifts to your son, Jesus. We thank you that we can learn many things from these wise men. And certainly that we can be wise ourselves as we continue to seek your son, Jesus Christ, as we seek to give him the best that we can in our lives. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, into this world. In his name we pray. Amen.